Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Wednesday, December the 14th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And we will be reading page 48, the fourth paragraph down. It starts with the prosaic steel girder ending with means nothing and proceeds nowhere. That's at the top of page 49, and it's one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Alex K., the 12 Traditions, Davalin E., and the readers of the text are Dion R., Sherry Z., and Lorraine N. The share ID for Tuesday, December 13th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,745. That's 19745, and for this morning's meeting, Wednesday, December 14th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 19,749. That's 19749. Our newcomer greeter is Babylonia A, and our announcements person is Eileen M. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the 12 steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Mo. Alex K., recovered compulsive eater in California. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to do service.
And thank you very much, Alex K. from California. And I will now ask Davalin E. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Davalin.
Good morning, Mo. My name is Davalin E. from Manitoba, Canada, and I am a compulsive overeater living joyfully and gratefully in recovery. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
And thank you, Davilini, for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 48, the fourth paragraph down at the bottom of the page, the prosaic steel girder, and it ends on the top of page 49, means nothing and proceeds nowhere. And I will now ask Dion R. to read that paragraph and to comment on it. Good morning, Dion.
Oh, good morning, Mo, again. Thank you all and everyone that's on the line. My name is Dion R., and I am from Ohio. The prosthetic steel girder is a mass of electrons whirling around each other in an incredible speed. These tiny bodies are governed by a precise law. And these laws hold true throughout the material world. Science tells us so. We have no reason to doubt it. When, however, the perfectly logical assumption is suggested that underneath the material world and life as we see it, there is an all-powerful, guiding, creative intelligence. Right there, our perverse streak comes to the surface, and we laboriously set out to convince ourselves. It isn't so. We read wordy books and then indulge in windy arguments, thinking we believe this universe needs no God to explain it. Were our contentions true, it will follow that life originated out of nothing, meaning nothing, and proceeds nowhere. Oh, that's sad. I'm so sorry. I'm glad I'm reading this. Again, Dion R. from Ohio, just being reminded how sad my thinking was prior to the divine intervention of the program. I really thought, if I can't see it, can't touch it, it's not, then I don't have to believe it. Everything else is fake, false, and not real. And I only came to that after life, you know, happening where it is and going to school and knowing science is real. But I love this part in here. Oh, my God, where it says, even the science tells us that, you know, that underneath everything, there's energy. And that energy, where'd that come from? Beyond? It came from somewhere. It sure didn't come from me. It was a divine intelligence, the universal energy or whatever you may want to call it. But it says, I love it. It gave me an opportunity to keep my mind open and say, okay, just maybe I was wrong. And ironically, reading this, being reminded of how so many people prior to me coming in the program tried to prove that there was no God, that they found a God, you know, of their own understanding. So this is powerful to me. It's like, it's open. It doesn't say you have to change your beliefs and, yeah, but touch it. Can you touch it? Can you feel it? Yeah, that was me. I got to touch it. It has to be real. If I can't feel the iron, if I can't feel matter, if I can't feel substance, then he's not real, or it's not real, or they're not real. But today, I can get into some humility and say I was wrong. Wrong many, many times, and still could be wrong about things. But today, one thing I'm for sure of, there's a God, and I'm not him. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to be a part of the solution.
Hey, thanks, Dion R., for getting us started. I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 48, the fourth paragraph down. It begins with the prosaic steel girder, and it ends on the top of page 49, means nothing and proceeds nowhere. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared Monday or Tuesday, please wait until tomorrow. Who would like to share on this reading?
Donna B.
Elaine from New York.
Donna B. Elaine G.
New York.
Gotcha. Thanks, Elaine.
Ashley M.
Ashley M. Was that an M? As in mother? Okay. Get it later.
Liz Z.
Liz Z. Gotcha, Liz. Anyone else? Okay. We'll go with those four. We have Donna B., Elaine G., Ashley M., and Liz Z. Okay. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Mo. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. You know, I don't really understand this paragraph, and I can be honest about that. It certainly is not one of the sexier paragraphs in the chapter of We Agnostics. But why I chose to share is to be able to say that, you know, it doesn't really matter if I don't understand what a prosaic steel girder is, or if I don't really understand the point that Bill is trying to make regarding mass electrons whirling everywhere and precise laws. It's an opportunity for me to say that there's a lot of things that I don't understand. There's a lot of things that just don't make sense to me. But what I can say is that the disease of compulsive overeating and bulimia beat me into submission. I admitted complete defeat, and I needed a power greater than myself to restore me to sanity and to give me the opportunity to live the life that I have today. And I was very, very, very slow to coming to believe in a power greater than myself that was kind and compassionate and caring. on my worst days, I would say, I know there's a power greater than myself because it gets in the way of what I want. And by remaining abstinent for as long as I have and continuing to work the steps, I sort of organically began to see this power working in my life that is personal to me, that does care, that is invested in the quality of my life and my opportunities to continue to learn and to grow. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Donna B. That's spelled B-A-N-A from Colorado. Elaine G. from New York. Good morning, Elaine.
Elaine G. from New York. I'm going to tell you, if I wasn't abstinent today, I probably wouldn't even understand the paragraph at all. But anyway, being abstinent, I have to be abstinent to understand anything. I mean, like, I feel like when I'm not abstinent, my mind's in a fog, and I'm not concentrating, and all I'm concentrating is on food. And, as they say in the paragraph, there's electrons, and there's science, and there's all this, but that's not what keeps me abstinent. What keeps me abstinent is the power of God. And the power of God and working these steps, that's how I get to understand the power of God. And the power of God, anything can be good. Like I'm having a great day. For 3 days I've been abstinent, which is a miracle, real miracle. And so far, 1, 2, 3 days, I'm feeling good from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, which is a real miracle, you know? And I can't do my way. Forget about doing my way. I'm unhappy. I'm irritable, discontent, all that. And when I do it God's way and work in the program, I'm joyous and free. I don't feel chained down by this disease. I really don't. And as each day goes by, it gets easier and easier. My disease doesn't keep on talking to me. But I'll tell you, when it does, I go right to God or I call someone on the phone. And no, I don't have a sponsor right now. It didn't work out. She insulted me and everything else there. But, you know, talking about the program, I shared about it in the meeting, this 3 o'clock meeting yesterday. And the moderator called me and talk about the program work, and, you know, God works through people. She said she's been through things like this too, and not to give up, you know. Some of us aren't, we didn't come in because we were a better health, or whatever, as they say. And as long as I believe in God, believe in the program, I have a good day. And then I also, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I do my prayers and meditations, and I ask God, whatever comes down in the day, help me accept it. Help me accept whatever's going to come down in the day. I mean, things may get me angry. I have to write about it. I call somebody. I just got to write on myself. And I thank you very much.
And thank you, Elaine G. from New York. Ashley M., you're up next, followed by Liz Z. After Liz, I'll take another line.
Hi, I'm Ashley M. from Maine.
Maine? Okay, thank you.
Yes, from Maine. This is my first time sharing on this meeting. I could really relate to this passage. Thank you. I come from a science profession, and so I have tried many times in the past to develop my relationship with God. And I have failed each time, and every time I've gone back to the crutch of, you know, I can't see it, this doesn't make sense from a science perspective, why would I believe in something that I can't see or feel? But the last line in this passage really, really resonated, because I don't believe that the world is going nowhere and there's nothing. I see all the time things around me that I can't explain from a purely scientific perspective. And I see all the time, you know, things work out as they're meant to work out. And even finding this program, that wouldn't have happened if it weren't meant for me to find. And I just feel my wall slowly breaking down on my barrier in being able to relate to and find God. Been connected with an amazing sponsor, and I feel like we're working so well together, and I feel like there's finally hope, and I can get out of this awful misery of feeling so far in the food and feeling like I can't manage my life and weight and my health and all those things around me. And I recognize that God is a huge part of that and will continue to be, and this won't be the time that I break down that relationship. And I will pass with that. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ashley M. And before I take Liz Z, let me remind everyone where we're at. We're on page 48, We Agnostics, the fourth paragraph down at the bottom of the page, the prosaic steel girder, and it ends on the top of page 49. Means nothing and proceeds nowhere. And after Liz, I'll take more names. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. Hi, this is Liz Z from Connecticut, compulsive overeater and not recovered. I know that much. But, you know, I'm still here and coming to meetings. And, there's a lot in this paragraph. I always believed in God. I had a really strong religious upbringing. And these are the kinds of paragraphs I used to read and kind of skim over because I didn't think I needed any more proof of God. Like I already believed in God. I already believed there was something that created the world and everything. But I think trying to reflect on where I am now and like what's keeping me from recovery, there's definitely a block. And I think it's like this block of self-pity. It's like a resentment at God, that there's a God, but he doesn't really like me, and he created all of this, and there's like the world out there, but I'm not a part of it. It's just this, there's this huge like separation, and like that God doesn't really have anything to do with me, and really believing that, I think, or at least like emotionally just experiencing that feeling like over and over again and not really addressing it, like not really admitting to myself like that's not true, like that's not God, that's my conception of God, like it's not working and it needs to change, and I need to allow God to change that in me. Like I, that word perverse, that perverse streak, like I really identified with that. Like I just feel like, I don't know. I just identify that in myself. And I'm just here because I want to try to keep an open mind and to allow God to heal me. And with that, I will pass.
And thank you, Liz Z from Connecticut. Welcome. Well, thank you for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared on Monday or Tuesday, we ask that you skip today and share tomorrow. So I'll now take some names of those who'd like to share in this paragraph.
Liz A. in Montana.
I got Liz A. Who was Montana?
Deb E.
Deb E. Thank you.
J.L.
J.L.
J. J.A.Y. Yep.
Yeah, I got you. J.
Deanne F.
Deanne F.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Elaine B.
Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you, Elaine D. So I have Liz A, Deb E, J L, D N F, Jordan L, and Elaine B. Liz A, let us know where you're from. Press star one to unmute.
Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Yes. Go ahead, Liz. I did hear you, now I don't. Well.
Sorry about that. Okay. God, all right. So first, I had to look up what a steel girder is. And when I did, I saw that it's the support beam that holds other pieces of wood. It's a very solid piece. And Bill likes to use these construction analogies. And so here we have this solid beam that we can touch and feel. And yet science, physics tells us that what it really is just a lot of space with these little electrons that are going through at incredible speeds. And, you know, they have laws that govern them, positive and negative, et cetera. Okay. And yet, you know, and if you come from a science background, which I do, I believe that. And I also believed when I came in that there was this all-powerful guiding creative intelligence that ruled the world. And many, many times I felt that to be a truth. However, I have these agnostic pockets where I suffer from chronic pain, and this last bout has been something else. And I, you know, I pray for God to guide me as to, you know, to heal me. And I, you know, go have a procedure done, and, you know, no change. And so it becomes difficult for this God to be personal to me. And then something happened last night. I was talking to one of my sponsees who was in a very bad way. And when we got done talking, she said to me, "Oh, thank God, you were the only one who was able to help me today." And then I realized that it's not about my will, what I want, my, you know, physical comfort or discomfort. It's about God's will. And God chose me for some reason to use me to help others. And that's where the focus needs to be, on God's will, not on me, not on what I want. And when I felt that, I felt God. You know, and then, you know, later on in the chapter, it talks about, you know, that we're agents, right? And we act on behalf of God. That's my only purpose, to act on behalf of God. This God that I'm slowly, slowly learning to trust and understand. And somehow when I was talking to her, to my sponsee, I had no pain. And I'll end with, you know, that was my my little spiritual awakening, my aha. So with that, I thank everyone who does service, and I pass.
And thank you, Liz A. from California. Deb E., you're up next, followed
yes.
by J.L.
Good morning, everybody. This is Deb E. in Montana, a grateful compulsive overeater, and thank you, everybody, for service today. This concept here of the last half of this paragraph, where it says, "Our perverse streak comes to the surface, and we laboriously set out to convince ourselves it isn't so." I'm going to just comment on two things. Number one, that is our ego. We are still active in our ego. We want it the way we want it. We want to be the director. we want things to go the way we want. And when the description there is our perverse streak, I love that, because perverse, when you look it up, is basically, it says, showing a deliberate and obstinate desire to behave in a way that is unreasonable or unacceptable. Well, that part of it, that's the second part of what I wanted to talk about, really focuses on how we use our ego in the disease when we're actively in disease. We act out in ways that to anybody else would look, and many, quite frankly, it looks insane or perverse. Things that are going to hurt us, we persist in following. And it has to do not only with the food, it has to do with relationships, it has to do with work, and it has to do with the higher power or the God of my understanding as well. So that as long as I put I in the first place, it depends on what I interpret it, or I don't want to think that way, I can't have that breakthrough moment of accepting the fact that there is this underlying energy. I have no idea how it works. All I know is that when I open myself to that energy of the universe, of my the God of my understanding, I am capable and of so much more. And I know that I am worth this program. And with that, I'm going to pass and hope you all have a good abstinent day.
Thank you, Debbie from Montana. JL, let us know where you're from. You're up next, followed by Deanne F. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. My name is JL, recovered compulsive eater, calling from Rhode Island. And I absolutely love this chapter. One of my favorite chapters in the book is Reagnostics. And it says in the doctor's opinion that the message that we need to carry must have depth and weight. And this chapter for me carries depth and weight. I am a licensed electrician in three states in the United States. I understand electricity. I know how to manipulate electricity. But I don't understand the basic fundamentals of electricity. I just know how to manipulate it and use it to do the things that I want it to do. And it's the same in my program. You know, I don't need to know exactly what God does and is and all of that. I need to know how to use those tools, my higher power, my home group, OA home group, the nine tools for me, the 12 steps, the big book. I need to know how to use all of those things for the result, for the outcome, for me to be able to say I'm a recovered Overeaters Anonymous member. And for that, I'm blessed. Thank you. Have a good day.
And thank you, JL from Rhode Island. Deanne F., you're up next, followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Deanne.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can, very clearly.
Great. Hi. I'm Deanne F. from New York, a gratefully, continually recovering compulsive overeater. And I also just love this chapter, and especially this paragraph, although I definitely admit that it used to annoy me at first for a variety of reasons. But I also want to say that the last share before mine is just, it literally really says everything, which is that, you know, I can use whatever power I'm given, but I don't need to, and I don't need to understand it, and I didn't create it. But, you know, one thing about going through this book over and over again, and what I say before I do anything, and I mean anything, is the set aside prayer. And this particular paragraph is really, it's actually really perfect for that prayer. And the set aside prayer, if I may say it in the way that I speak it, which is, God, please help me set aside everything I think I know about you so that I may have an open mind, an open heart, and a new experience. And that that is what this paragraph is really asking me to do, is set aside everything I think I know about the material world, about laws, about, you know, about what it means to put all my energy towards lack of belief instead of seeking evidence of God, which is available to me 24/7, because I don't cause myself to open my eyes in the morning. I don't cause myself to grieve. That is a power greater than me that just absolutely regulates every system in my body. And so this is just a wonderful paragraph, and I encourage everybody to, like, get out a dictionary and look up some of these words, because I didn't know what perverse meant. I thought it was something different, and it actually means obstinate and stubborn in a less fancy way. And prosaic means dull and ordinary and commonplace, and I did not ever understand that. And so I just want to say thank you for letting me share, and I appreciate everyone. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you, G. Thank you, G. And F. Up next is Jordan L., followed by, Elaine B. Good morning.
Hey,
Jordan.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning and abstinent. So the chapter, the whole basis, right, for we agnostics is this idea of, like, if you don't like your God, why don't you choose your own conception? Or if you don't like the conceptions that are out there, why don't you choose your own conception? Like Ebby said to Bill at his kitchen table, right? And out of that very simple idea, Bill had, like, this whole experience. So so we agnostics is, like, it's basically just, like, some arguments for that, for, like, why don't you choose your own conception? And the paragraph before talks about a reasonable assumption for a starting point. This is, like, one of the arguments that Bill is going to make. He's going to make an argument for a reasonable assumption, just starting with a reasonable assumption and seeing what happens from there, right? And talking about weakest proof is, like, visual proof is the weakest proof. When I read through this book for the first time in AA, actually, trying to get sober, my sponsor explained to me that the prosaic steel girder was a common steel beam, one that you see a lot, actually. But not so much out west, like where I live, a lot of things are made of wood, but in larger cities and urban areas, like, all the buildings are made of these common steel girders, right? They're around us everywhere. and support are, you know, like, support thousands and thousands of pounds of weight, right? Like, they support our whole physical world that we've built around us. I don't think the paragraph is so much, like, you have to be really smart to understand it. It's more just about, like, looking around me and being kind of, like, curious about what's around me, you know? And that's kind of the reasonable assumption that I started with. I can't say that I had any, like, lofty convictions about a higher power when I got here. And I most definitely had a perverse streak, for sure. that perverse streak has not gone away entirely, even after being in this program for years and practicing the 12 steps for over a decade now. That perverse streak is still with me. But what I understand now is that that perverse streak, hopefully a higher power is using it to serve me and others when necessary. Like, that's the faith that I live with today, right? And so I can start there. I can just start with this reasonable assumption or this logical assumption and go from there. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jordan L. from Colorado. And after I take Elaine B's name, we'll have time for maybe one or two more shares. We're on the bottom of page 48, the fourth paragraph, the prosaic steel girder, and it ends with means nothing and proceeds nowhere. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Mo H. Thank you for your service and everybody's shares. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. And very, very grateful, very grateful. You know, there's a place in the book that said that what appeared at first to be a flimsy reed turned out to be the loving, powerful hand of God. And, you know, I got through, you know, reading all about the doctor's opinion and everything, and they explained my problem to me. But I kept going because it looks like there's a solution. And here, they're explaining the problem to many of us, you know. How can I put my confidence? You're telling me my only hope is going to be in a power greater than myself, this all-powerful guiding creative intelligence. Well, I'm so sorry. I wouldn't be where I am if that were really the case, that, you know, was taking care of a steel girder, was taking that good care of me. And I didn't know. I was blocked. You know, I was blocked by the food. I was blocked by the fear. I was blocked by my disbelief. I was blocked by my resentment. I didn't know what I didn't know. And, you know, I needed to hold on to something that I could believe in. And I was standing on a faith that I had, but it wasn't sufficient. In fact, as I went to practice that faith every time, there was food. You know, so many of their things were about, you know, events and meals and all of that kind of stuff. And so it was really, really challenging. Yet I like the idea of an all-powerful guiding creative intelligence to help me, you know. Maybe does it work for the whole universe? I don't know. And so I was told, just like Abby, as was mentioned, you know, why don't you come up with your own conception of God? What do I need God to be now? What do I aspire for God to be, just so that I can take hold of that flimsy reed? There's no evidence. There's no proof that it's going to work out. But all I'm reading in this book and what I'm hearing on these meetings is that people have done this, and it has worked for them. And, you know, my favorite paragraph in the entire big book is on page 100. It's the first paragraph. What I had to do, I had to hold on to the promises. Those were my aspirations. That was my job description. You said this will come true. All those nine-step promises, all the bedevilments would be dealt with. But on page 100, it says, both you and the new man, no matter where you are in this journey, must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. We realize when we look back that things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands came out better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power and you'll presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. So mine was, I'm holding on to the promises and prove true that you can do it. And he has. I pass.
Thank you, Elaine. Perfect timing. Okay, so I have time for two more shares. If anybody would
Kevin?
Like to share. If you have Kevin?
Yep.
Okay.
Christine M.
Christine M. Okay, we'll stop there. Kevin, you're up first.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. Grateful, Kevin. I can see, even from my point of view, how science in the chapter is, you know, misleading, somewhat confusing, because the whole topic is pretty confusing. But I can poke holes at it, but at the same time, it's a mystery, you know, and for me, I've kind of combined, there's lots of literature from that possibly God created the evolutionary process, not to like play the God of the gaps, but also it's a hypothesis. It's being how to evaluate something that no one was there to evaluate. And it's helped my journey. I mean, I was angry at God when I came in, and I was like, listen to all the atheists. And I was like, well, it seems a lot better than what I've got here in traditional religious faith. They talk about this vacuum, that nothing came from nothing, like, is kind of silly. But the fact that what is the conclusion it all comes to. And there's some other literature that says the vacuum is not nothing, but is a sea of fluctuating energy endowed with a rich structure and subject to physical laws. And so that quantum field, but the issue is like what started it? I mean, why are we here? Science doesn't explain. It says what is here, because it has to be testable. But at the same time, it's just as reasonable. And when I was angry at God, you know, every time I ate, when I made my kids a certain food, I would just believe in the sense of mystery, not blind belief, but with some plausible, I wouldn't say compelling, but I'd say plausible enough to make a step towards it, and say it's enough to move forward. In the 12 steps and 12 traditions on page 25, how he does cherish the thought that man risen so majestically from a single cell in the primordial ooze is spearhead of evolution and therefore the only God that his universe knows. So he's combined evolution with God as well. So it's my own conception. However, you know, Bill's suggesting that it's all powerful, guiding and creative intelligence. I mean, he's helping me stay sober. He helps a lot of people stay sober, or not he, it, universe. And, you know, when I'm in my self-pity and I'm in a relapse, spending thousands of dollars on food, not able to pay rent, had no physical defense, and I'm here still. So thanks for letting me share. Wish you all 24.
Thank you, Kevin S. And up next is Christine M. I can give you 2 minutes, Christine.
Okay, hello. My name is Christine M., gracefully recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. I just want to say I'm grateful to be here. I had to stop trying to intellectualize God. I know God works. You know, there's not chicken bones laying in my bed today, you know. You know, I'm able to get out of myself and think about other people for a minute, you know. And there's proof all around me, you know, seeing people just grow and evolve in this program, seeing my kids change, grow and evolve, and, you know, seeing it in myself, you know. And so, I don't know, I'm just grateful to be here. I had to stop intellectualizing because it was killing me, and I just had to start believing that there was something greater than me, that there was something greater than food, you know, and that, you know, there was other plans for me than to just eat myself to death, and God definitely has had other plans, and I'm just so grateful for that, and that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Christine M., and thank everyone for all their shares and also all those who gave service on this meeting. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Sherry Z. to please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Mo. I'm Sherry Z., recovered in Los Angeles. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.